This is Cross Hope with Randy Snyder. Cross Hope is broadcast daily and shares 5 minutes of hope and encouragement from the Word of God. Our companion website is www.crosshope.org. Now, with today's uplifting message, here's Randy.
Now then, today we begin the last message in a series that we've called Blueprint. It's a study of the book of 1 Timothy, Paul's letter to a young minister named Timothy in a place called Ephesus. It may not have great significance to your life or my life on the surface, but it really does. His blueprint for the life of the church and the life of individual believers like you and me. I hope you'll listen all this week as we talk about a blueprint for your life in two words. That's right, a blueprint for your life and my life in two words. Listen as we begin today. God bless you. You've had this happen to you maybe recently, and I'm not trying to say anything or imply anything off color or suggestive by this at all, but you've had somebody come up to you either in jest or seriously and say, hey, I got two words for you. I got three words for you. I've got four words for you. And usually it's an admonition that's said in jest or maybe serious, something that they want you to remember. They're words of admonition that they want you to impress upon your mind. And today, I'm going to give you two words. That's all I'm going to give you for a take home. In fact, I've asked the people at the first two services, and I really mean this, is that next week when you come to church, I want you to say the two words to me. Remind me next week that you still remember them. The word flee, F-L-E-E, not flee as in my dog has fleas, but flee, F-L-E-E, running from danger. And the second word, pursue, P-U-R-S-U-E. Having to do with going after something, following something, chasing something down, flee and pursue. Why would you mention those two words? Two final words that the Apostle Paul gave a young minister named Timothy. Where Paul tells a young man named Timothy, Timothy, there's stuff in your life that you need to flee. Just like there's stuff in your life and in my life you need to flee. And you know what it is. We'll talk about that in a minute. And secondly, there's things you need to pursue. You need to go after. And this will speak to you. I think it's so simple, so basic, but at the same time, so profound in what it will say to you. It's from 1 Timothy 6, beginning at verse 11. The last message in this series called Blueprint. Verse 11, Paul says to Timothy, but you, man of God, flee from all this, from all the stuff he talked about earlier, particularly the love of money, and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, endurance, and gentleness. Fight the good fight of faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called when you made your good confession in the presence of many witnesses. What event? His baptism, more than likely. I have about a dozen commentaries that I look at every week, and 10 of the 12 said that this happened at his baptism in the presence of witnesses, in the sight of God who gives life to everything and of Christ Jesus, who while testifying before Pontius Pilate made the good confession. Jesus made the good confession in stating that he was who he claimed to be. I charge you to keep this command without spot or blame until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, which God will bring about in his time, not our time, but in his time. God, the blessed and only ruler, the King of kings and the Lord of lords, who alone is immortal and who lives in unapproachable light, whom no one has ever seen or can see. To him be honor and might forever. Amen. Flee, pursue. My prayer today, and I really mean this, is that God is going to emblazon those two words on every man's heart that's here today in all three services. He's going to emblazon those two words in every woman that's been here today or is here right now in all three services because of the import of what they mean in your life.
We'll continue with this final message from the series in 1 Timothy tomorrow on Cross Hope. That's crosshope.org.
Flee, pursue. My prayer today, and I really mean this, is that God is going to emblazon those two words on every man's heart that's here today in all three services. He's going to emblazon those two words in every woman that's been here today or is here right now in all three services because of the import of what they mean in your life. First, Paul says in verse 11, but you, Timothy, man of God.
That sounds very spiritual, doesn't it? Moses was called a man of God. It's a very expressive term. But I want to suggest to you that every man, every woman in this room can be called a man of God or woman of God. Do you know how you become a man of God or a woman of God? Be perfect? No. That you're aware of God's impact and involvement in every area of your life makes you a man of God. If you're aware of God's presence at work, Monday through Friday, and you're aware of God's presence with your children, and you're aware of God as being the unseen listener to every conversation, the unseen guest at every business lunch, and you have an awareness of the presence of God in your life, I want to suggest to you, you're a man of God. You're a woman of God because you have that awareness that impacts how you live, how you talk, and how you think. You see, the God who lives in you impacts what comes out of you. Write that down. The God who lives in you impacts what comes out of you. What do you mean by what comes out of me? What comes out of your mouth and your speech? What comes out of your heart and your attitudes? What comes out of your mind in terms of your spirit and the different messages that are sent to people by what comes out of you? The God who lives in you impacts what comes out of you. And then Paul says, flee. I really wrestled with that this week, fleeing, and then it dawned on me. I only need to give you two things you need to flee, because this will sum it up for most people. Now, somebody's going to come up to me, as I understand, and say, Randy, life isn't that simple. It's not that basic. And you know what I would tell you? You're right, but it's true what I said. Here's what I'm telling you. Most of the fleeing that needs to happen in your life and in my life, get this, involves a place or it involves a person. Let me say that again. Most of the fleeing that needs to happen in your life and in my life involves a place or it involves a person. You say, what do you mean by that? Every man can think of a place I need to flee from in this week in my life. Every woman can think of a place that perhaps I need to avoid. Every man or woman can think of a person or persons that I need to avoid because I notice that that causes problems in my life. And to the person who would say, you know, that's too simple, you're oversimplifying it, may I share this with you? I can't tell you how many times over the years I've talked to people in the office, over lunch, on the phone, doesn't matter, where they've used words to this effect, if only I hadn't gone to that place. If I hadn't been with him. If I just hadn't been with her. And I think you get what I'm trying to say. Most of the fleeing in our life needs to take place from places and from persons, from people. And I think if you're honest with yourself and you're honest with your God, you would say, that's right. Place or places, person or persons. What is it you need to flee in your life?
Well, I think if you and I were honest, we both would say that resonates with us, that there are things in our life that we need to flee, and it usually involves a place or it involves a person. Our website, of course, is crosshope.org. That's one word, crosshope.org, to listen to this message again or any other message you may have heard on Crosshope. God bless you, and thanks for listening.
Most of the fleeing in our life needs to take place from places and from persons, from people. And I think if you're honest with yourself and you're honest with your God, you would say, that's right. Place or places, person or persons. What is it you need to flee in your life? And then he says to pursue, and Paul gives several qualities. I want to talk about them. Pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, endurance, and gentleness. Just for a moment, I want to talk about each of them. I did a word study on righteousness when I was doing a funeral, and I used as a text Proverbs 10:7 that says, the memory of the righteous will be a blessing. I wanted to know, what does that mean, the righteous? Now, here's what I found out. Righteous can have to do with being righteous in what you do, but I found out in the Hebrew it means righteous in character also. There's a difference. We all know people who are righteous in deeds. They cross the T's, they dot the I's, they do everything correctly, they live by the book. They wouldn't think of doing anything immoral, but their hearts are full of hatred and resentment and bitterness. It's not just a matter of saying, I'm a righteous man because I do the right things, or I'm a righteous woman because I do the right things. Righteousness has to do with deed and character, who you are as a man or woman. Godliness has to do with a reverence for the Lord. I'll call a man godly who I know reveres the Lord and has a respect and a reverence for the Lord God Almighty. That means he's a godly man. A godly woman is a woman who has a reverence for the Lord. A godly wife is a wife who has a reverence for the Lord. It's not a special title for special people. It applies to anyone who has a reverence for the Lord God Almighty in their life. And then he talks about faith, love, endurance, and gentleness. Very briefly, I want to talk about those four words. Faith obviously has to do with what it says, with faith. It has to do with faith, believing in the Lord. Would you be described as a man of faith? Would you be described as a woman of faith? Only you know the answer to that, and only the people closest to you. That doesn't mean you're a person of perfection again. It means that the general direction of your life, get this, is to believe God. To be a person of faith means the general direction, the tone, the direction of your life is to believe the Lord God Almighty. Love is the Greek word agape. It's an unconditional love. It's not just a romantic love or a Philadelphia, kind of a brotherly love. It is agape love. It's unconditional, that comes from God, is from God, and is enabled by God. And that's the kind of love we manifest. Endurance is the ability to live with what you cannot change, and I'm not talking about your spouse. Nobody got it in the other two services either. Endurance is the ability to get along and to live with what you cannot change. There are things in your life that you can't change and I can't change, and we have to rely on the gift of God's endurance. It's really a gift. It's a gift from the Lord. But I want to spend a little bit of time on gentleness. Gentleness is the same word for meekness in the Beatitudes. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Meekness is a man or woman who doesn't demand his or her way. The opposite of meekness or gentleness is saying it's my way or the highway. What part of this do you not understand? The opposite of meekness or gentleness is it's my way or the highway. What part of this do you not understand?
Well, that may sound a little dramatic, but my guess is there's somebody in your life that you would describe in those exact terms. It's their way or the highway. We continue this message on CrossHope. Our website is crosshope.org.
Meekness is a man or woman who doesn't demand his or her way. The opposite of meekness or gentleness is saying it's my way or the highway. What part of this do you not understand? The opposite of meekness or gentleness is it's my way or the highway. What part of this do you not understand? You know, it may be good in a movie to see that it's lousy in a marriage to have somebody like that. It may be good for a TV show to have that kind of character in the show, but it's lousy with kids. It's my way or the highway. And the sooner you figure that out, the better. And these are the qualities that Paul tells Timothy, this is what you're to pursue. There are things you've got to flee in your life, and I want to suggest they have to do with people and places, but the things we have to pursue are righteousness, godliness, faith, love, endurance, and gentleness. And then he says, fight the good fight of faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called when you made your good confession in the presence of many witnesses. What are you willing to fight for? It's a good question to ask yourself. What am I willing to fight for? Have you ever made the statement, well, I'm not going to die for that hill. That's not something I'm willing to die for. And we use that metaphorically or figuratively. But we fight for a lot of things. We fight for us. And we fight for what's coming to me. And I'm going to fight for what people owe me. And I'm going to fight for this and that. Can it be said of you or me that we fight the good fight of the faith? Meaning that what matters to God matters to us. What matters to the Lord in spiritual things matters to us because we contend, we fight the good fight of faith. I shared this in both services earlier that I think this is really important. We put so much emphasis in our culture today on personality profiles. How many of you have ever had a personality test at work, at school, at prison, wherever it may have been, where you had to take a personality test, and you've taken those tests, and you know what? Interesting about that? We ascribe so much authority to those tests that I've actually heard people say, well, I can't change. That's my personality. You don't understand. That's how I'm wired. Tell that to the God who said, if any man or woman is in Christ, they're a new creation. Tell that to the God who said, if any man, any woman, any teenager is in Christ, they're a new creation, meaning they're a new person, totally. And we forget that. We put more authority in a personality test than we do in the power of God to change a person's life. And you know what that's called? Blasphemy. It's called blasphemy. Don't ever get to the place in your life where you say, well, I can't do this, and I can't be the kind of father and husband I should be, can't be the kind of guy I work because of my personality. And you know, my dad was like that, and his dad was like that. And we deny the power of God in doing that. We deny the power of God. God didn't say, I'll change you as long as you have the right personality to be changed. God doesn't say, I'm going to modify your life, I'm going to work in your life. It depends on your personality profile. No, none of that. If any man or woman is in Christ, they are a new creation.
Well, we're simply out of time today on Cross Hope, but I want you to make every effort to hear tomorrow's program as we tell one of the most powerful stories I've ever heard on radical life change. It's a woman from Grand Rapids, Michigan, who moves to Dallas, described her life in this way for 18 years. Miller Lite was my God. What a statement. For 18 years, I worshiped the God of Miller Lite. I hope that piques your curiosity to tune in tomorrow. Our website is crosshope.org. That's one word, crosshope.org, to listen to this message again or any message you hear on crosshope.org.
Mary Dolphin, D-O-L-F-I-N, writes this. This is really strong stuff, but I want you to hear it. At 25 years old, I got into full-time partying, taking meth, cocaine, drugs, alcohol, or whatever else was around. I spent the next 18 years of my life with Miller Lite as my God. I've never heard anybody say that. I spent the next 18 years of my life with Miller Lite as my God. It's only by God's grace that I didn't die. I moved from my hometown of Grand Rapids, Michigan, to Dallas, following after a man I liked. On my own for the first time, I looked for love and acceptance in beer, drugs, and men, latching onto my own will rather than God's. Anybody relate to that, latching onto your own will instead of God's? The results of living by my will were terrible. I drank myself to the point where I couldn't distinguish the truth from what was false. I was evicted from several places, sometimes living with my cat in my car. But even with no home base, God somehow kept me safe. I grew angry and resentful. My needs weren't being fulfilled at the rate I wanted them to be. I wanted a man to take care of me, and I didn't have one. I blamed everybody else for my unhappiness. That's an interesting sentence. I blamed everyone else for my unhappiness. In reality, many of those struggles started with me. Now, I'm going to just cut to the chase here. She spent 6 days in detox in a hospital and rehab, but eventually someone brought her to the Watermark Church. And she describes in spiritual detail how her life changed and how the Lord came into her life and there was a powerful new beginning. Why? Because she had therapy? No, because she met Christ. Because she had a personality change? No, she met Christ. And here's what she says, as God continues to soften and transform my heart, he puts Christian people in my life to inspire me. I cut hair for a living, and fortunately, many clients have stuck with me through thick and thin. They've seen the transformation from hopeless addict to someone living in the full hope of Jesus. Isn't that amazing? What a statement. They saw the transformation from hopeless addict to someone living in the full hope of Jesus. God can do what he wants in anybody's life, including yours, including mine. God can do anything he wants in your life and in my life. And he's the same God that worked in the life of the Apostle Paul to tell Timothy, Timothy, there's stuff you got to flee in your life. What do you need to flee? You know what it is. And Timothy, you need to pursue four or five qualities here. What do you need to pursue out of that list? Knowing that the God who is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, who is the only ruler, he lives in unapproachable light. It's just a magnificent description of the majesty and the power of God. That's the one we have a connection to through Jesus. Remember, Jesus put a face on God. Jesus put a face on God. How much does God love me? Look at Jesus. How much does God care? Look at Jesus. Because Jesus would say this, the most remarkable claim about that Jesus ever made, in my opinion, is this one, where he said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. The hair on the back of my neck stands up every time I think of that. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father, because I realize, and I realize this every time I read that, that is either the statement of a total pathological liar, a totally psychotic person, crazy person, or it's the statement of the Lord God Almighty. It's true. Decide today that you need to flee and you need to pursue.
You've been listening to Cross Hope with Randy Snyder. For more information about this ministry or to re-listen to any message heard on this broadcast, go to our website at crosshope.org. Be sure to join us at this same time each weekday, or listen at www.crosshope.org. Cross Hope is listener-supported and is produced by Cross Hope Ministries, Incorporated.